welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark, the new voice of Alexa. My name is Jay.
I'm Leslie.
How are you doing tonight, Leslie?
Doing well. I feel better now. I got some coffee in me.
That's right. Gotta get the caffeine flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Just insert it directly into my veins.
Oh my gosh, sometimes I feel like that. Like, come on, I had such a headache today. I know we talked about this in the last one, but...
I feel like coffee doesn't even have an effect on me anymore. Unless I'm on an empty stomach and then I still make that it makes me sick, but...
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really ever feel like a boost of energy.
I had a friend I used to work with at my last job, and he used to have, I think, 5 venti coffees a day.
I can't do that.
Yeah, it was because we had a little, like, offshoot Starbucks in our company, and he would go, like, I think he would make coffee first at his house, and or he would just come in early, and he would buy there, and he just would go through the day getting refills, because the refills were only, like, 50 cents there. And he would just have the basic coffee. He wouldn't have, like, you know, the... Like, right now I'm drinking the black and white mocha.
I can't drink, like, their just plain black coffee at Starbucks. It's, like, it's too strong for me.
I have to do the light one.
Like, medium roast or something? Or light
roast? Yeah, light roast. Like, the, I think they call it the blonde.
Yeah, I can't do, like, dark, dark coffee. Like,
yeah.
I usually have to get... But I don't want a light roast. I want to feel like I'm drinking coffee, but I don't want to feel like I'm drinking coffee.
You're like, I want to be jittery, as in I'm just sitting there, my hands are a little shaky. Not jittery, as in I think my chest like is about to explode.
Exactly. Like, I feel like I'm about like to have like an epileptic fit of some sort.
The only time I ever felt like that is when a friend, former friend, she gave me Jolt coffee, I think it was called. Mm. It was something weird. And I just remember we were in college, and I was walking across campus, and I was just like, I can't breathe. And I had to sit on, like, the bench and just sat there, and I was like, remember going to P.E.? And I was like, yeah, I can't. Well, they didn't call it P.E. It was one of our dance classes, but it was like, I can't go.
No. Yeah, and I was at one of my friend's houses. We were doing, like, an online gaming thing, you know, playing whatever. I forget what we were playing. But we were having... He just kept brewing pots of coffee, and we were just like, I went through, God, like, probably like 10 cups of just straight black coffee.
I went without coffee for a year, like 2 years, I think it was, really. And the only reason I started drinking coffee again is I was watching some movie, and they kept drinking coffee, and they kept talking about... No, it wasn't a movie. I think it was a TV show, and all they kept doing was coffee, coffee, coffee. I think it was NCIS. And every time, like, here, boss, here's some coffee. Here, boss, here's some coffee. Oh, yeah. And I was just like...
Oh, DeNozo.
But it's like, I really want some damn coffee now.
I never really ever gave it up, but I think at some point I did slow down on it. If you remember, I would go to Starbucks, like, 3-4 times a day.
I just like that in our town, there's probably about 40 Starbucks. I mean, like, no, sometimes...
You would be hard-pressed to go to a street and not find at least 2 of them opposing each other on different street corners.
Right, and my favorite thing, though, is I would go with you into these Starbucks. One's not near your house, or one's, like, in the mall, like, little kiosk. Be like, hey, Jay, how you doing? And I'm just sitting there like, how many of these star baristas do you know?
Quite a few.
Like, they knew your... They even knew your drink. I would give a shout-out
to my Herndon and my Palmden and...
Palmden?
Palmden crew.
Herndon shout and
Palm. Shout-out to you guys. Herndon and Palm. Guys. Well, that's what the street name, right when you turn into Starbucks, you have that one little street.
It's actually called Palmden?
It's called Palmden.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's Palm, but it's right before Herndon, so...
Oh, it's that... I just call that annoying street that has all the curves and the roundabout. I've seen so many accidents on that street.
Oh, that's not that one. But that one's, Yeah, that's my Starbucks. It's the one that I go to for, you know, when I'm at work and stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, I honestly will only drink coffee when I'm really, really, really exhausted, which it doesn't happen too much now. But I do look forward to our podcast, because that's when I kind of indulge into...
Ching ching.
Ching ching. I like it. It can't hear anything but your ice. Okay, that is pretty good. Okay, so now that we are refreshed with our beverage, What legends are we doing tonight? I think it's your turn to go first.
I can use a tasty beverage.
That is a tasty beverage.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, I decided to do something a little bit different. Well, not different because you've already done it once, but I haven't done it yet. So I'm taking it and I'm making it my own, and you can suck it, Leslie.
Are you doing a Men in Black one? Because, you know, that's my spiel.
You know, just for that, I'm going to take that next week. So, there. No, this is an unsolved murder. Mm. Murder most foul.
Oh, you know them, a murderino.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's, well, okay, it was from The Simpsons, but the podcast, My Favorite Murder, the listeners, they call like themselves murderinos.
Sounds like something Flanders says.
It was.
Idly ho, murderinos.
Yeah, have you ever heard of My Favorite Murder?
No.
Oh, man, so you're lucky because you're one of those people who have never heard it, so you get to hear it for the first time. It's like the people who tell me that they have never read a Harry Potter. It's like, oh, you're so lucky you get to read it for the first time and find that magic.
What do you mean you never watched Harry Potter? Get out of my sight.
Who is that?
It's anybody who's ever watched a Harry Potter movie dealing with somebody who's never watched a Harry Potter movie.
True.
Or Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Or Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Actually, I've never read Lord of the Rings.
Or Doctor Who. Or Sherlock.
Oh, you know what? I think you're just trying to hurt me now.
But you've watched both of those.
I know, but what I'm saying is just like, there's not people out there who hasn't seen these, right?
Oh, there's probably some more than
that. That is the true urban legend.
I know. The search for people who've never watched Sherlock.
There's probably a lot.
I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So anyways, today, my murder most foul is about a man named Roland T. Owen and the mystery of Room 1046. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Okay.
Murder. This unsolved death took place in January of 1935. One day, a tall man with a facial scar and a cauliflower ear entered the Hotel President in Kansas City, Missouri, or Missouri, depending on how you like to pronounce that. He asked for a single room several floors up for one night. Dun, dun, dun.
So good. I'm already getting goosebumps.
The man paid the fee, as was the style at the time, signed the register under the name of Roland T. Owen. Only the luggage that he had on him, which he actually didn't have any luggage, but he had in his pocket a hairbrush, a comb, and a toothbrush. Okay. Yet for some reason, the bellboy Randolph Probst felt compelled to accompany him to room 1046 for some reason.
Hoping probably he needed some help or a tip, yeah.
Sorry,
I just... Did you hear that? Or was that just me?
That's you.
You're not even going to ask what I heard?
No.
Okay, for all the listeners, I thought I heard a weird moan.
Yes.
Okay, it's nothing. My husband's not here, so like now, see, when my husband's not here, I'm used to him yelling at like
the thing.
So now I know that no one's here. That I'm like, what the hell is that? Sorry, I'm already creeping myself out. Sorry, go ahead. So,
Owen told Probst he originally wanted to stay at the Hotel Mühlebach, but thought cost was too high to justify staying there. Which was kind of a random thing. I mean, why do you tell your bellboy what your original plans were going to be before getting there, right?
It's weird. Like he's nervous.
After taking the key from the bellboy, he left the hotel, returning later on, and also allowing the maid who had come to clean up the room to enter the room to clean. But he instructed her to leave the door unlocked, as he was expecting a visitor later on. The maid noticed that the curtains had been drawn and the only light in the room was from a small lamp on a table. But the illumination was enough so that she could see that Owen seemed nervous and anxious. I understand those two words mean the exact same thing, so I actually misread my notes as a nervous or anxious. Before she finished cleaning, though, Owen left, but reminded her to leave the door unlocked once more. Around 4 p.m. later that day, the maid returned. Owen had returned to the room and was laying on the bed fully clothed. Weird. Anybody of us has ever fallen asleep on the bed with their jeans still on?
1930s, so it's a suit, probably.
That sounds like, even less comfortable, but...
Yeah. Well, what would you expect more like creepy, like full clothes or just naked, asking the maid to come in.
Hmm. Wait till later on in the story. So anyways, on the bed fully clothed. There was nothing different in the room. Everything was exactly the same as how she had left it earlier, except that there was a handwritten note on the table which read, "Dawn, I will be back in 15 minutes. Wait."
Dawn?
Dawn.
Okay.
What happened between then and 10:30 the following morning is uncertain. The maid returned to clean the room. Someone had locked the door from the outside. However, Owen was still inside the room. He was sitting in a chair once the maid actually entered the room. He was sitting in a chair, not talking, just staring into the darkness, completely ignoring the maid.
Wait, but this is like 10:30 in the morning, he said.
Well, it says, yeah, it was 10:30 in the morning when she came back in the morning to clean.
Okay, and like, so the windows must have been drawn and stuff. So his room was just dark and he was just sitting there in the dark.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The phone rang and Owen answered. Someone on the other line had spoken first. And eventually, after a moment, Owen replied, "No, Dawn, I don't want to eat. I am not hungry. I just had breakfast." Owen then hung up the phone and turned to the maid and mentioned the Muehlbach to her as well. This is twice that the Hotel Muehlbach has been mentioned in this time period.
Wow, he's really, like, trying to say he really wanted to stay there. It's like when I used to work at Gottschalk's and everyone's all like, you know, Macy's had the same thing. It's like, well, then go to Macy's. What if the maid's like that? Like, stop being creepy in this room.
Also, he also asked the maid about the president. Not the president, but the hotel president that he was staying in.
Okay. And not the Muehlbach hotel president.
And what she was supposed to do there, which kind of unnerved her a little bit. So she couldn't get out of the room fast enough at that point. So just imagine, like, he's just sitting there, just has some weird little short conversation with somebody and then turns around and mentions another hotel and asks her what she does at that one. I'm sure in 1935 that was probably like a really weird conversation to have with the help.
Well, yeah, wait a minute. So is he saying to her,
like, what do you do here?
What's your here? But then, like, oh, I thought you made it sound like he was asking her, what do you do at that other hotel?
No. He was asking what she did at the president one.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
So, later on, the maid brought fresh towels to the room. Before she had a chance to enter, she could hear a pair of male voices inside the room. She stated her reason for being there, and when a new voice, not Owen's, bluntly told her towels were not needed. At 7 a.m. the following morning, the phone in room 1046 was off the hook, which was also 3 hours later, also off the hook. They sent props to the bellboy to the room to replace it onto the receiver. The Do Not Disturb sign was on the door. Props knocked and was invited in, although the door was still locked. He knocked again and was told to turn on the lights. The door was still locked, so he's getting instructions on doing stuff inside the room when he hasn't even been able to get inside the room yet. Finally, he yelled at Owen to just replace the receiver, or replace the phone on the receiver.
Later, that poor bellboy was probably, like, freaked out.
Later on, phone was again reported to be off the hook.
I wonder if he never put it in.
Maybe not even checked it until later on. Finally, another bellboy, Harold Pike, entered the room with a pass key. Owen was laying on the bed without clothes on. See, Leslie, you finally got your new
now this is legends.
Pike replaced the phone on the receiver, left. Phone had somehow returned off the hook later on.
Wait, so the guy was just laying there?
He was laying there and somehow the phone just kept, either he took it off the receiver or somebody else did.
What? Okay, well, in my head it kind of semi makes sense that he was naked since he had no other clothes, so maybe he, like, got undressed to lay down in the bed, but I don't think he had to go the full Monty.
Let's see, later on, like I said, the phone was off the hook again. Pike returned, again, using the pass key after getting no answer when knocking on the door. When he finally got inside, Owen was crouched on the floor, head bloodied and walls covered in bloodstains. Probst called his manager, who called the police, after quickly exiting the room. When the police arrived, Owen, who was not dead at this point, tells the police he fell against the tub.
Okay.
The police found no clothing in the room. The hotel amenities, such as the shampoo and towels, were also missing. What they did find was a tie label, like a men's tie.
Okay.
4 fingerprints on a lampshade. Also, an unsmoked cigarette and a hairpin were found at the scene.
Okay, so MacGyver showed up.
Decided to make a weapon of mass destruction.
Seriously.
Police came to the conclusion that 6 hours before he was discovered, Owen was tortured by a person or persons unknown for reasons unknown.
Okay.
Injuries would later prove to be fatal. Mr. Owen did not survive whatever he had been done to him earlier that day.
And he didn't say anything to the police about what happened?
He said nothing. He was Joey Tightlips. I ain't saying nothing. So his injuries were, again, fatal. Investigations were made difficult into the finding the person or persons who had done this to Mr. Owen, as Roland T. Owen did not exist. It was an alias.
Okay.
Various other things.
Wonder if he would have used an alias at the Marbury.
That's the Mühlebach.
I like mine.
Good Lord, woman. If you're going to step on my toes on my story, at least get your facts straight.
No, okay, so he doesn't tell the police.
Does not tell the police, but dies of his injuries. He was beaten within an inch of his life and then lost said life. How do you sit there and and it's obviously not the truth because you don't fall and hit your head on the tub and then get bloodstains all over the wall.
I don't understand why he wouldn't say anything.
Well, there's various...
I mean, like, he had various... to know that there was something going on. Like, he was... I mean, if he was beaten an inch of his life, he must have been dying. And they didn't want him to leave because they took all his clothes and even towels and stuff. Like, he didn't want him, basically, this is 1930, so you just don't walk out and be like, hey, everybody.
Keep in mind that there was the mysterious other man in the room with him.
Don.
Could have also been somebody else. He was talking on the phone with somebody named Don.
And the note was for Don.
And the note was for Don. The man in the room may have been Don, but it could have been somebody else. There is also another, they tried to put out a picture of we're just going to keep calling him Mr. Owen, to find out if anybody knew him. Various people came forward honestly, I didn't write down the name of the city, but I think it was another city in Missouri. We had a bartender who claimed that he had seen this man, who was constantly in the company of other women. Even a woman claimed that the man who was interred at the morgue was her son.
Really? But still, even with these people coming forward,
there was no progression in the case. Various theories abound here. They say he could have either been a love triangle gone horribly awry, with the man in the room possibly being a jilted lover.
Okay, I can see how that would happen.
Another theory that myself personally feel like might be more accurate would be it was a mob hit.
It seemed, why would he just wait though? Like
He was waiting for something. It could have possibly been.
And he was nervous.
Maybe somebody. He was waiting for somebody to deliberate a decision on whether he was going to live or not.
But if that's the case, why wait? Think
about this. It's 1935. Weird, I mean. No, 1935.
Okay, yeah, we're in the middle of the Great Depression.
How fast can you get from one part of the country to another without still being able to, like, you know, cover your tracks?
Probably pretty easy to cover the tracks, but probably not as fast because, what, you had trains?
The train was about, if you wanted to get far away, train was pretty much your only option.
So the only thing, though, is it's the conversations with, like, the bellboy and the maid that, like, kind of creep me out. Because you have this person who's just sitting there, and it's almost like he's getting ready to prepare for something. And he's nervous, so he's just kind of, like, connecting with people. But he's doing it in that arbitrary, like, you ever go somewhere and sit, like, in a waiting room, and the person, like, in the doctor's waiting room, and the person who's, like, really nervous is always the one who's like, ah, hot day today, isn't it? Like, they just want to hear their voice. But
For all we know, he could have been there to do some nefarious doings himself.
Yeah.
Like, he might have been there to off somebody, but somebody offed him first.
And the whole that whole conversation is kind of weird. Like, oh, I'm not hungry. It's like he's almost irritated with the other person. So why are you so nervous and waiting for something and irritated with this person? It's
you got to keep in mind also, he wasn't just killed. He was tortured. Now, tortured to me doesn't seem to really scream so much like, you know, you know, angry ex-husband or boyfriend or something as much as it does mob.
It's interesting.
Most people don't torture. They'll just go up there and just straight up kill you. Maybe give you a good beating first and then kill you, but not torture. We don't even
know how. That is kind of weird, like.
And we don't even know how long that lasted. Because you notice, there were people. When did the guy go into there? It was about 7 a.m. is when they first went in there to check on him and found him laying face down on the bed. So he was okay then.
But he didn't answer them, right?
But he didn't answer them.
Yeah, it must have not had any marks or any red flags for the
unless there was staff. Already somebody else in the room with him telling him, if you have anybody come into that door, I'm going to kill you and that other person.
And what's weird is you said the door was locked from the outside, so that means they took his key, locked it, put the do not disturb sign up, and left.
Mm-hmm. He could have also been a prisoner there, too.
That's interesting. Like, ooh, that's a good creepy story. I'm going to be thinking about that one because, like...
Because if you think about it, like, he, yeah, it's like exactly like we said, like, the room was locked from the outside, which means somebody came in there, checked on him, dealt with him, and then said, you better stay here, and locked him in. And he didn't leave at all. The only time they ever showed him leaving was that first time where he left the note for Dawn.
I wonder what happened in that 15 minutes. Man, that's an interesting story.
He said he'll
story.
Be back in 15 minutes. He could have just gone down and get something to eat. That part might have been the simplest part.
You're thinking, like, Occam's razor, like, the simplest answer is probably the right one. Yeah. I mean, I could see them all, but I think I could also see, like, the jilted lover thing. Maybe he was going to confront someone there, and then when...
But torture. I mean, that... You usually don't torture somebody. Now, I mean, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but...
Do you play one on TV?
You never know.
But no, I get what you're meaning. It's just... It
seems extreme.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about it. He just didn't mention anything. He was nervous that he just had this weird talk conversation with people, but he never said anything. It's like, I don't know. It's just, that creeps me out in the sense of...
And that's the other thing, too, though, is that if it was like a enraged lover or husband or whatever, wouldn't he have given them up, like, super fast?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe it's not... Unless maybe that lover's in the mob. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, either that, or he may not have even known who was actually attacking him. They could have if it was a mob hit, they could have just sent some random goons up there, beat the crap out of him, and then, you know, what would he have been able to say?
So to this day, we don't know his real name?
To this day, we don't know his real name. We don't know who killed him.
That was a good one.
Thank you. I was quite proud of that.
Man, I'm going to be thinking about that one. I might have to, like, look into that one. Ooh, God, good one. Okay.
Say a prayer for Roland T. Owen if you must.
No, it's one of those things where I don't know how common it was, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to stand here naked or lay here naked while my maid comes through the room.
Back in the 30s, probably not very likely. People were more conservative at that time.
Oh, man.
Nowadays, yeah, you probably find some dude face down with his ass hanging out. No big deal, right?
Reminds me of that movie, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, where there's that scene where he's just standing there watching TV naked, and then the maid comes in and she's vacuuming all around. And I listened to the commentary, and I think that was an actual maid. Like, they were staying in the hotel. It was something. Like, but he was actually naked, so when that...
She was probably, like, all...
Okay, I'm just going to be pretending I'm vacuuming around here.
Getting an eyeful.
Oh, wow. Okay, that was a good one. Okay, let me get a little sip of my coffee, and then I'll tell you about doppelgangers.
Ooh, doppelgangers.
Now, as you know, doppelgangers freak me out. So
I think you and I have had a conversation about these before.
And I wanted to do the story, or these stories. There are multiple stories, and I kind of stick with the ones that I was always creeped out about, or, like, famous people one that you didn't realize, that you may not realize had a doppelganger experience. Mm. A doppelganger is an apparition or double of a living person. The thought is they are a non-biological related lookalike, sometimes portrayed as a ghostly or paranormal phenomenon, and usually seen as a harbinger of bad luck. Some stories and traditions, the doppelganger is equated with an evil twin. So, my personal stories for a doppelganger is, knock on wood, I've never seen a doppelganger myself, but my mom, when we were growing up, she never saw one, but she had a doppelganger. And the only reason we knew is we would go into the town. So I lived in a small town, and you would have to travel 15, 20 minutes out to various towns around us to go shopping at big grocery stores like Safeway and go to the movies. And we would go to Blockbuster, and kids, Blockbusters were used to have to rent the movies versus the streaming. But we would go there, and my mom, I just remember when I was younger, would be sitting there, and right next door was Little Caesars. So you knew it was Friday night because mom would rent two movies. We would get Little Caesars with that crazy bread, and, you know, that was our Friday night. And my mom would go to these places, and she would argue with the people. And one time in Blockbuster, we didn't rent any movies. She's like, put it back, kids. We're not going to rent the movies here. And we're like, oh, come on, I want to watch movies. And we get the pizza, and we would go to another another video store. And we would rent the same movies. And I remember her telling my dad, saying that Blockbuster has some of these, like, late fees for movies that she never rented. But then she would go into the same town where the Blockbuster was, and people would be like, I don't want to say my mom's name, but be like, oh, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, we went to school together. And, like, my mom, like, one guy did this to her. Like, oh, we went to school together, remember? We went, I forgot where, but let's say Stockton. And she's like, no, I went out of state. Like, I went to this school out of state. What are you talking about? Says, no, stop playing. You know, you know me and you went to this school. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then there was this, like, there would be accounts in her name. Okay, now you kind of think, oh, it was, like, identity theft. But people would be like, oh, you were just here last week. And she's like, no. Says, no, you must have a twin. Like, they would tell her, you must have a twin because someone dressed exactly like you with the same hairstyle would be here. And it kind of just started freaking my mom out, where it's like, I don't know who this is. So we actually, it was funny because it was a small town, it was a college town. So my mom was like, we're just going to go to this other small town to get all the Blockbuster. But yeah, when growing up, I always remember my mom had this experience. People would just come over there like, oh yeah, we just saw you last week. How you been? And then they would look at us, be like, these are your kids? It was just really weird. She had some twin somewhere, and people always told her too, like, yeah, we just saw you last week. And she's like, I don't know you, dude.
That's weird.
Yeah. For me, when growing up, I always kind of figured that was a weird concept. And then I remember when I was in high school and I really got into the Twilight Zone, they had that whole episode. Well, they had multiple, but the one episode where she was in a bus station and her doppelganger basically, like, I think how it ends is she takes over her life and gets on the bus to live her life, and authorities come thinking she's crazy to take her to the sanitarium. Yeah, that's a scary thought. Like, someone can just, like, take over your life. That's why these stories have always fascinated me. So the first story I have is about the Empress Catherine II of Russia, also known as Catherine the Great. She was born at the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia. One night, she was awakened by several servants who were surprised to see her in bed. When asked why they were surprised, she was told by them that they had just seen her in the throne room. Rushing to the room, she saw herself sitting on the throne. She ordered her guards to shoot at the doppelganger. And it's not mentioned of what happened if the doppelganger disappeared, if it was hit, if it ran off. But all people know is, it is recorded that what happened next, a few weeks later, at the age of 67, she died of a stroke. So she sees this, and she had multiple witnesses. So that creeps me out.
Hmm.
And Catherine Grey had a lot of urban legends, like, around her. So I'll have to do her just by herself. But that one, I remember hearing about when I was in high school. Someone was telling me about that one. The second story is Percy Shelley was a brilliant poet and husband to Mary Shelley, author of Frankenstein. He told his wife one night that he met his doppelganger many times. The most haunting being was where he was walking on a terrace, only to be greeted by his twin, who asked, quote, how long do you mean to be content, unquote. Shelley told his wife this story shortly before he drowned in a sailing accident in 1812.
You said the doppelganger asked it, how long do you mean to be content or need to be content?
Do you mean to be content?
Mm-hmm. So the doppelganger wanted him to die.
It's weird, but it seems like it. And here's something even stranger. Shelley's doppelganger was also witnessed by their close friend, Jane Williams, who saw it pass in her window on a route to a dead-end street, but it never returned to pass back by the window. And later, when she asked about him, they found out Shelley was nowhere near her window. So, like, that to me is the creepy part, is, like, so you see someone, like, hey, okay, he's gonna come back because that's a dead end. There's nothing to do down there. And you're waiting, and you're waiting.
And he never comes.
And he never comes. But I've heard that one multiple times. It's weird, too, because I think something was weird with his drowning as well. Like, it was a lot of things happened with Shelley and Mary Shelley that their story is so interesting, too. Okay, my third story is Queen Elizabeth I saw her doppelganger lying on her bed, almost like a corpse laid out for her presentation. She died soon after seeing this.
Right? It doesn't say how soon, right?
No, but it was within, because they kind of talked about how, like, oh, she was an older woman, she was probably kind of delusional, she was tired, you know, she was a tired monarch. It was one of those things where everyone just thought, okay, she's just seeing things, and then when she died, everyone was kind of like, oh, hey, remember she saw that harbinger? I like that word. When I can say it.
When you can say
it. Okay. Now, my fourth story is Abraham Lincoln was interested in the paranormal discussions, at least in private. And I know his wife was really into the spirit. He told that on the night of his first election, he took a moment to rest on his couch. While lying down, he glanced to a mirror and saw his own reflection, except that he had two faces. A second Lincoln was pale and ghostly and was looking at him from the mirror right next to his own face. When he rose to look at the mirror, the twin, it disappeared, only to reappear when he sat down. He would repeat this from time to time through the years, and the doppelganger would only be seen once more in the mirror. His wife thought it was a message, a message that he would be elected again in a second term and tragedy would fall, which was true when he was assassinated at Ford's Theater. So his one is a little bit different where he sees it, but he sees it in this reflection. And I read it in an article is kind of like, oh, maybe it was just like the light and stuff. But it also talks about how he even said that there was a lot of tragedy that followed him, and especially when he went to the White House, that I think the reason that this story kind of came out is because that second Lincoln looked so sickly and pale, and that he knew it was going to be a hard presidency.
It didn't have like a bullet hole in its head or anything, did it?
Too soon. But no, it was just like, it's. I kind of think about when I look in the mirror, like, how creepy would that be, is that you're standing there looking at yourself, and then all of a sudden a second image comes up next to the one that you're looking at.
He's a brave man, because I think I would have exited that room pretty fast.
I can't believe he's talking about, like, yeah, I did it a couple of times and only showed up one more time.
He's like, oh, no big deal, I'm Abraham freaking Lincoln.
Vampire hunter.
I wear the top hat.
But there was a, you know, I'm sorry, I actually had some more doppelganger stories, but these stories literally somewhat freaked me out, because it's one of those things where I don't know if I would want to experience. Oh, okay, I want to go into this haunted house. Oh, I want to go to this Queen Mary. Oh, I'll go visit this site that this was the house of a horrific murder. But it's like, hey, Leslie, you want to see yourself? No. No, I do not want to see, like, another Leslie just strolling down the street.
Well, the rule is for me is if I see another Jason running down the street, I'm offing him. Like, real quick. Like, it's either you or me, buddy, and I was here first.
You ever see that meme where it says one night you're sitting there and a ghostly apparition shows up with a better looking you and says, and see where you've become? And says, oh, please, spirit, take me back. I do not want to turn out this way. And it disappears and you're like, what the hell is that? Like, I love that story. No, it was another book I read too, The Ghost Hunters. When they were really, really popular, you know, Jason and Grant, they wrote a book, and I forgot what it's called, but they talked about when they were first ghost hunting, and they met a woman who basically had experience with a doppelganger in her own house. And then, like, she would be upstairs, and her husband would be downstairs, and this woman just, this doppelganger would come in and be, like, start talking to him, and she's like, oh, okay, I guess I don't have to do this chore, or, okay, I'm going to go do this. And then he would come upstairs and see his wife and be like, how did you get up here so fast? I just left you downstairs. And when they were helping her out, they were in this room, and they had already talked to her and interviewed her, and basically kind of got some facts from her. And if they ran into her, I guess the thing is, like, you ask them questions that they wouldn't know. So they were in this room, and they were kind of putting up recording equipment, and she walks in, and they thought, oh, okay, it's just her. And then they started talking about the equipment, and they're like, we just went over this. And they realized they must have been talking to the doppelganger, so they started, like, asking her weird questions and questions she couldn't answer. So basically, she's like, oh, well, I better go. And she opens the door and walks right into the closet. And they're like, okay. And when they open the door, no one was there. That story freaked me out, too, when I read that a long, long, long time ago. Being obsessed with the Ghost Hunters. It was, like, one of the first shows on about it.
Just be like Mr. What's that guy from the DC Comics? Mr. Mixel Spitlick. You say his name, or he... Oh, no. You get him to say his name three times, and he ends up going back to the... gets transported back to the fifth dimension.
Like Beetlejuice?
Yeah, kind of.
But reverse?
The reverse. Oh, no. It wasn't... No, he doesn't say his name three times. You have to get him to say his name backwards.
Okay.
That seems weird. Kiltitsies him.
That seems weird.
Yeah, it's also pretty hard to do.
Like, hey, you guys want to play Pictionary? What am I spelling out? Or you guys want to play Hangman?
Well, there was one I saw. It was on the animated Superman series, though. But it was like he got him to not say his name backwards, but because the guy was chasing Superman through the sky, like, and he turned himself into a biplane, creating like a little smoke cloud, you know, like planes do sometimes. And like Superman tricked him into spelling his name backwards in the sky. And then he turned around and he was like, ah, crap. And just gets out back to the fifth dimension. It was like,
like, Superman, I'm smart. Oh, the only trick happens, or that trick only works once, though.
True.
The next time he's like, nope, I'm not a biplane. I'll just be a bird.
But he still managed to do it every single time, though. It was pretty funny. Once he knew what he was supposed to do, it's like the thing. It's like, if you want to trick somebody, don't tell them what your weakness is or how to get rid of you or whatever. It's like Beetlejuice. He should be like, to summon me, you say my name three times, but to get rid of me, you have to say my name once.
I don't think you could get rid of Beetlejuice, right?
Yeah, you can.
How did he get rid of... I don't remember the movie. How did they get rid of him?
Well, I think you just say Beetlejuice, 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 and then he goes back.
Great. Now Michael Keaton's out in my living room being like, hello, everybody.
Time to party.
You do a good Beetlejuice.
Thank you.
But that's my stories.
Well, it seems to me like it's funny because there's different doppelgangers, it seems like. You have the not really the doppelgangers because they're more apparitions that are more just like a premonition to you saying, like, this is, you're going to die soon.
And yeah, I agree. And then there seems ones that others see of you.
Yeah. And then those are the ones that are going to try to replace you somehow.
Yeah. It's weird.
Like the Mary Shelley's husband. His doppelganger, to me, seemed more like, you're going to die, and then I'm going to take over.
It was weird. I'm sorry, I should have looked up about his death, but his death was weird, too. There was something weird about his circumstances of his death, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But his friend, Byron, used to write about doppelgangers. And in the sense of, about, you know, evil twins and having another part of you being evil. So I wonder if he ever kind of told him about his sightings and about his story. That'd be interesting.
It would be.
But that's all my story this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. I know there's a lot more doppelganger stories, so if you love these stories, I highly recommend just spending a couple of minutes on Google and like looking up these stories, because once you kind of read them, they stick with you.
Kind of like your doppelgangers.
But I'm bump. Nice.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good one.
I know.
Okay, well, I guess just a little bit of light housekeeping that we just want to make sure that we tell you to please rate, review, subscribe, share us with a friend. I love these stories. If you have stories that you want to tell us, suggestions of stories that you want us to do, please send them to podcastlegends@gmail.com. That's all one word, podcastlegends@gmail.com.
And also, if you ever want to message us, you can always hit us up on Instagram or Facebook under
Legends in the Dark.
And also, you can get a hold of us on TuneIn, iTunes,
Stitcher, Spotify,
Google Play under the free podcast app.
Or really anywhere where you can download podcasts.
Anything.
I love how, like, each week you're just kind of like, ugh.
It seems like each week we have a different forum that we have.
Well, and it's hard to tell because we have some really nice numbers, which I appreciate everyone who's given us a chance to listen. I know a lot of our episodes, especially the early ones, were rough, but stick with us. We have so many good stories we want to share with you. It's honestly my favorite time of the week when I get to sit down and tell you the stories that creep me out enough that I'm hiding in my bathroom, locking the door when my husband's not here. I'm calling up Jason and be like, hey, Jay, are you still around? You want to stay? Watch a couple movies?
I'm like, no, you big sissy. I'm going to go home and play video games. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. But like, yeah. So I just got this book from my friend Andrew for a late Christmas gift, and it has some great stories in it, ghost stories all across the U.S., so I can't wait to dig into that. And Jay, I bet you're going to have some like really good creepy stories, so please, I hope you continue to join us each and every week.
On our little journey through the unknown.
Oh, you want to take us home?
Yes. And don't be afraid of anything that we have spoken about on this program tonight, because they are purely fictional.
Or are they?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.